The following narrative is based on the book The Nutcracker, retold from initials E.T.A. Hoffman, H.O.F.F.M.A.N. The author of this book is Jane B. Mason. It's published by Scholastic Incorporated, New York, copyright 2002 by Jane B. Mason. And the ISBN is 0-439-43651-6. And this is a paraphrase. I did not use the book's narration, but I based the following story on the book. And this is being recorded with an Olympus ME15 monaural microphone plugged into an Olympus WS320 machine. After the narration, I will include a list of the names of the dances in the Nutcracker ballet itself. This is not the Nutcracker suite, it's the entire ballet. Here is the story, as I have written it in my own words, based on the narrative in the book, so there should not be any copyright problems. This is the story of the Nutcracker. It takes place before the days of computers, telephones, and electricity. It could have happened in the 19th century in Europe. The names are German or Austrian. And one thing is for sure, this is a fairy tale from start to finish. It was Christmas Eve, and Marie Stahlbaum and her older brother Fritz looked forward to opening their presents that night. They had an older sister too, Louise, but she isn't really part of the story. They also had a godfather, Drosselmeyer. In the ballet, he's their grandfather, but in the book, he's their godfather. In fact, his name is spelled differently, depending on whether you read the book or read the notes for the ballet. He was a clockmaker and a very skilled craftsman. He was rather ugly, and Marie was scared of him when she was very little. But as she became older, she came to love him very much. He had a patch over one eye, a wrinkled face, and was bald. He wore a wig over his bald head, was short, and had skinny legs. But once she got to know him, she loved him dearly. He always brought such terrific Christmas gifts, and every year the children dreamed of what he might make for them. Fritz wanted a fortress with an army ready for battle, but Marie wanted a huge castle with beautiful gardens and a lake with swans. Of course, Fritz thought this was ridiculous, but you know how brothers and sisters can argue about these sorts of things. All day they dreamed about what might be under the tree. They weren't allowed into the parlor until evening. Finally, just after dark, a bell rang, and the doors of the parlor flew open, and they ran in. The tree was in the middle of the room. The branches were silvery green and decorated with apples, nuts covered with sugar, red and gold decorations, and even tiny white candles, which, of course, aren't used these days because they're dangerous, but back then they were used to light up the tree. There were so many gifts they couldn't be counted. Fritz got a toy chestnut horse that was big enough for him to ride, and a cavalry of Russian soldiers dressed in red and gold uniforms, complete with silver swords and white horses, and Marie got a doll that was so beautiful that it became her favorite. Marie called her Clara. After playing for a while, they settled down with some picture books, full of pictures of faraway places and children playing. The Christmas bell rang again. and they knew it was time for Godfather Drosselmeyer's gifts to be unveiled. They ran to a table in the corner of the room. In front of it was a curtain. The gifts were hidden behind it. Someone drew aside the curtain, and there was a castle set up with spires and dozens of glass windows, and all the windows and doors opened and closed, and there were people strolling around in the rooms. Chimes played, and children danced to the chimes. In the front of the castle there was a hall with chandeliers that were lit up. A figure that looked like their godfather appeared at the garden gate, and then disappeared inside again. And another man appeared occasionally at one of the windows. Fritz was bored with it, but Marie was enchanted. So their godfather showed them how it worked, taking it apart and then putting it back together again. After that, they went and ate dinner, and everyone left the room except Marie, who saw something under the tree. It was a little toy man who looked like a soldier, but wasn't. He was dressed in red like a soldier, and his jacket had gold buttons on it. Over his uniform he had a cloak that looked like it was made of wood. His head was bigger than the rest of him, and he had skinny legs, and his body was too long. But she loved him. She took him to the dinner table to show everyone. Her parents said he belonged to all three children, and when his cloak was lifted, his mouth opened, and they could put a nut inside. There were two rows of teeth. When the cloak was put back in place, his mouth closed, and the nut was cracked. He was, as you might have figured out, a nutcracker. She and most of the family gave him nuts that were easy to crack. But Fritz wasn't quite so careful. He cracked some of the hardest nuts, and the nutcracker lost three of his teeth, and his lower jaw was damaged. That night the children stayed up late, playing and arranging their toys in a toy cabinet that was set up for them. It was in the parlor, and it was glass, and had four shelves. Their godfather's toys were on the top shelf. Below that were the bookshelf, Fritz's army, and Marie's dolls. Marie's doll shelf was set up like a house, and her new doll, Clara, had a special place there. Eventually it got so late that everyone except Marie went to bed after putting out the candles on the tree and around the toy cabinet. Marie opened the cabinet, took Clara out of her special bed, and moved her to a sofa on the doll shelf, put Nutcracker on the bed, and put him on the shelf with the toy soldiers so they could protect him. She started off to bed, but suddenly she heard a rustling sound that seemed to come from everywhere at once. The clock started to make weird whirring noises, and the owl decorating the top of the clock dropped his wings over the clock's face. And suddenly the owl had turned into her godfather, and there were mice invading the room from everywhere, the floor, cracks in the walls, just everywhere. And they formed into an army with a mouse king that had seven heads. And they were coming toward her and toward the cabinet. She fell back. Crash! And her arm broke through the cabinet door and broke the glass panel into smithereens. Then everything changed, and she could see the dolls and soldiers and the nutcracker getting ready to fight the mice. The toys left their shelves except Nutcracker, whose wooden body wasn't flexible enough to take a hard fall, so he jumped and landed in Clara's arms, and she put him down safely, and he led the toy army into battle. He even had a sword. The mice had jawbreakers that they used like cannonballs, but the toys had sugar balls that exploded in the mice's faces and blinded them. The mice kept coming, for there were more of them than there were toys. There was chaos all around, with Nutcracker leading the toys and the Mouse King leading the mice. And the mice had teeth that could bite. Nutcracker called for the reserves, but there weren't very many. Clara fainted. The mice surrounded the toys, and the toys ran for their lives. When two mice grabbed Nutcracker, Marie just couldn't stand it any longer, so she took off her shoe and threw it at the Mouse King as hard as she could. Then everything disappeared, her arm began to hurt, and everything went black. Then it was morning, and she was in her own bed, with the doctor and her mother beside her. Marie's arm had been cut on the glass panel, and the noise woke her mother, who came to see what happened. Marie had been found lying in front of the cabinet with toys scattered around her, and her shoe was across the room. Nutcracker was lying on Marie's bleeding arm. Nobody believed Marie's story about the battle, and she had to stay in bed for days, which definitely wasn't any fun. But all seemed well, and the mice were gone, and the Nutcracker was safe in the toy cabinet. One evening, her godfather came to see her. She was mad at him for not preventing the battle and for stopping the clock from chiming so the mice could be scared away. But she forgave him when he brought her Nutcracker, which had been fixed, with the teeth put back in and the jaw fixed. But he had lost his sword. Fritz, who came in just then, complained about that, but their godfather said the Nutcracker would find another good weapon if one was needed. Then he told them about how ugliness came into the Nutcracker's family. The story begins with the birth of a beautiful princess who was guarded day and night because she was so special. Why was she guarded? Because during a large gathering of kings and princes in the court, during the preparation of the feast, when the queen was alone in the kitchen cooking the meat, she heard the queen of Mouse-olia requesting a taste. The Mouse Queen claimed to have royal blood and lived under the stove, of all places. No sooner had she sampled the meat than the rest of the Mouse Kingdom came out and devoured nearly all of it. At the feast, when the meal was served to the court and the kings and the princes, the king became ill, and when his physician was attending him, the king said three words as he began to revive, "Too little meat." The queen confessed what happened, and then she fainted. But the king was so angry that he vowed revenge. The mice's property was confiscated, and the Mouse Queen was to be tried for her life. But the king was still concerned about what would happen if the Mouse Queen continued to eat the royal meat. The palace clockmaker invented some little mouse traps with cheese attached to them. They were placed all over the palace. The Mouse Queen was clever enough to avoid these, but her relatives weren't, so they were trapped and killed. The Mouse Queen was so enraged that she warned the queen that the beautiful baby princess was in danger, and the Mouse Queen might bite her in two. And that is why the child was guarded so carefully. That is also why there were always loyal tomcats nearby. But one night, the Mouse Queen managed to sneak into the royal nursery where the princess slept, and by the time everyone woke up, the child had a huge head and a shrunken body. Her eyes were green and bulging, and her mouth was a large gash that stretched from ear to ear, and the Mouse Queen was sitting on the edge of the cradle. But when everyone woke up, the Mouse Queen escaped before they could catch her. The royal family was shocked and in despair. The king blamed the clockmaker for all this and gave him 4 weeks to make the princess beautiful again, and if he didn't, he would be executed. The clockmaker couldn't figure out how to make her beautiful, but the princess began to crack nuts, which she seemed to enjoy. This gave the clockmaker an idea. He went to his dear friend, the court astronomer, and after 3 days and nights of doing quite a bit of research, they found that to make the princess beautiful again, she had to eat a certain nut meat from the hardest nut. It had to be cracked in her presence with the teeth of a young man who had never worn boots and never shaved. When he cracked the nut, he was to give it to her while his eyes were closed, then take 7 steps backward without stumbling. The king, upon learning of this, was ecstatic, but because they had not found the nut or the young man, the king wanted to go on with the execution. The queen intervened in their favor. So off they went, the clockmaker and the astronomer, traveling for 15 long years, until they finally decided the one place they hadn't searched was their own home country. They found that the clockmaker's cousin, a toy maker, had the nut, and his son was the one to crack it. In fact, he was dressed just like the nutcracker that Marie got for Christmas. So back they went to the palace. Young men came from far and wide, but none could crack the nut. The king got so desperate, he promised his kingdom and his daughter to the one who succeeded. Finally, the two young travelers brought the toy maker's son, and all went well. The princess became beautiful, the kingdom rejoiced, the queen fainted, and the young boy was just putting his foot down for the 7th backward step, when the Mouse Queen appeared, and the boy stumbled and nearly fell, and changed into an ugly creature with a giant head and body that was too big for his legs. He had bulging eyes and a yawning mouth, and a wooden cloak that made his jaw move as the cloak moved. But the boy had killed the Mouse Queen. Before she died, she promised that her descendants would revenge her death. The princess was beautiful, but upon seeing the nutcracker, commanded that he be taken away from her sight. The king blamed everything on the clockmaker and the astronomer, and they were banished from the kingdom. But they discovered that the nutcracking boy would become a prince and a king again. In order to do that, a lady would have to fall in love with him, and he would have to defeat the Mouse King. And that's how the Nutcracker family became so ugly. Well, back to Marie and her own story. It became obvious that the Nutcracker boy in the story I just finished was her godfather's nephew, and the clockmaker was Godfather Drosselmeyer himself. During Marie's convalescence, which lasted much longer than planned because her arm took a long time to heal, the glass cabinet had been repaired, the damaged toys repaired or replaced, and the nutcracker was in fine shape. Shortly after her recovery, Marie was awakened in the dead of night by a horrible skittering noise in the corner of her room. And she knew the mice were coming. Indeed, it was the Mouse King. He came up onto the table beside her bed and demanded all her candy, and she had to give it to him, or he'd chew up the nutcracker. So the next night, she placed it on the doll shelf inside the cabinet. Next morning, her mother saw the mess the mice had left in the parlor, candy scattered all over, especially the marzipan, which the Mouse King didn't like, and had scattered all over the room. And that night, the Mouse King came back, demanding all her sugar figurines, with the same threat if she didn't provide them. The following night, she set them up as before. The next morning, there was another mess in the parlor. That afternoon, her godfather built a mouse trap, but that night, the ugly Mouse King came back, demanding Marie's dresses, books, and laces, with the same threat. Before she could take action, she went to the cabinet, picked up her nutcracker, and saw a spot of blood on him from the battle with the mice on Christmas Eve. And as she looked, he spoke, saying that if he had a sword of his own, he could manage to get rid of the Mouse King. But where would she find a sword? She went to her brother for help, and he got a sword from one of his retired colonel figures and attached it to the nutcracker. Fritz was concerned that his soldiers had behaved like cowards in the battle, so he plucked the feathers from their caps and said they couldn't march. Then he and Marie went off to bed. Marie awoke after midnight to the sound of rustling and shrieking from the parlor. Suddenly there was a tap on her door, and a voice informed her that the Mouse King was dying. She opened her door, and there was a handsome knight with a sword that had been used in battle. He was the Nutcracker, and he carried the 7 jeweled crowns of the Mouse King, which he gave her. He told her to follow him, because he had some enchanting things to show her. She followed him, and suddenly they were in a meadow called Candy Meadow. They went through an arch made of baked almonds and raisins, and at the top were 6 monkeys playing lovely music. They walked on pavement made of hard candy. They went through the arch into Christmas wood, where shepherds brought in a reclining chair for her. When she was seated, they danced for her, then disappeared. She and the Nutcracker Prince continued past Orange Brook to Gingertown on Honey River. They came to Candy Village, where people were unloading wagons of chocolate bars. They came to a rose-colored lake with swans swimming across it. A boat appeared, pulled by a pair of dolphins, and as they crossed, Marie saw her own smiling reflection in the water. They landed in Marmalade Grove, and just ahead was the Capitol. The buildings had crowns and spires, and the walls and towers were all different colors. As they entered Confection City, they were welcomed by a man at the gate. They saw that the houses were made of sugar, and there was a giant cake in the center, surrounded by fountains that flowed with lemonade and orangeade. And there were people from all over the world celebrating. But things were so noisy that eventually people got confused and were in each other's way. The man who had welcomed them climbed on top of a spire and called for the pastry cook. That calmed everyone down, and they went on with their business. The Nutcracker Prince told Marie that the pastry cook was a strange and terrible power that could do what it wanted with people in the city. People were so afraid that just mentioning that power would make them behave if things got too rowdy. Ahead was a castle decorated with flowers. There was a dome in its center decorated with glittering stars. The castle had 100 towers that sparkled, but one of the spires had broken off. A giant called Sweet Tooth had eaten part of it. 12 pages and 4 princesses came out of the castle to welcome the 2 travelers. The princesses were the Nutcracker's sisters, and they all went into a crystal hall full of cedar furniture. Marie and the princesses began to prepare a banquet, but while she was using a mortar and pestle to pound some candy into shape, the sound of the pounding began to make a lilting music, and she saw all of them floating in the clouds. And then she was lifted up, and suddenly, crash, she landed in her own bed and had awakened, and it was morning. Marie figured she had fallen asleep in the castle and one of the pages had carried her back home to bed. Nobody believed the story of the land of toys, but people were amazed when they saw the seven crowns of the Mouse King, but it didn't convince them that she was telling the truth. Just then her godfather came in and said the crowns were the ones he wore on his watch chain, and he had given them to Marie on her second birthday. He didn't even admit that Nutcracker was his nephew. Her father threatened to throw her toys out the window if she said another word, so she became quiet and became a daydreamer. A short time later, Marie was in the parlor, daydreaming, and said out loud that she would never despise her Nutcracker if he became ugly. There was a bang, a jolt, and she fainted and fell out of her chair. When she came to, her mother stood over her, telling her they had a guest, her godfather's nephew, and Marie had better behave. And there he was, next to her godfather. After dinner, he and she went to the toy cabinet, and he told her that because she had said she would not despise him for turning ugly to free her from a spell, he was not a wooden nutcracker any longer, but was king of Marzipan Castle. A year and a day later, she became queen. They left for Confection City in a golden carriage, pulled by silver horses, and were married and lived happily ever after. The end. Here is a list of the selections in the ballet. First is the overture, and then starting Act 1, Tableau 1, beginning. Number 1, The Christmas Tree. Number 2, March. Number 3, Gallop and Dance of the Parents. Number 4, Dance Scene, Drosselmeyer's Gifts. Number 5, Scene and Grandfather Dance. Number 6, Scene, Clara and the Nutcracker. Number 7, the Nutcracker battles against the Mouse King. He wins and is transformed into Prince Charming. Act 1, Tableau 2. Number 8, Scene in the Pine Forest. In some versions it's called In the Christmas Tree. 9, Waltz of the Snowflakes, Act 2, Tableau 3, beginning. Number 10, The Magic Castle on the Mountain of Sweets. Number 11, Scene, Clara and the Prince. In some versions it's called Clara and Prince Charming. Number 12, Character Dances. A. Chocolate, Spanish Dance. B. Coffee, Arabian Dance. C. Tea, Chinese Dance. D. Tripak, Russian Dance. E. Dance of the Reed Pipes. And F. is the Clowns. Act 2, Tableau 3. 13, Waltz of the Flowers. Number 14, and I don't know French, P-A-S space D-E space D-E-U-X. And there are items under this. Entrada is the first. The second is Variation 1, Tarantella. Variation 2 is the third item, Dance of the Sugar Plum Fairy. And item number 4 is Coda. And then 15 is Closing Waltz and Grand Finale. And that's the Nutcracker Ballet.